Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And we got a jam-packed episode today. It's the most important day of the week. It's the first week of on-field practice for the Eagles. Obviously, that means we will get the most important Jalen Hurts update we have gotten really since the concussion. Will he be out there? How much does he do? Going to be a big day for Jalen Hurts. Now, he won't clear the concussion protocol today. The earliest that could happen, if he's out there today, is on Thursday or potentially even Friday. So really, the big news today will be, is Jalen on the practice field? So when should you keep an eye out for that? On the schedule for today, Nick Sirianni speaks to the media at 12:10. He might tell us at that point if Jalen is going to be out there. He'll probably just say, we'll see, which, whatever, that's how they decided to handle it. That is how they've decided to handle it. So at 2:10, that's the time today, everybody. 2:10, practice begins. We'll be open to the media. We will get to see if Jalen Hurts is out there. So be by your phone. I'll, of course, be tweeting it out. And we will get our Jalen Hurts update today at 2:10. And then 4:15, the locker room opens. I don't think we'll hear from Jalen Hurts today because he's not going to talk, I would expect, until he's officially cleared. Wouldn't shock me if we don't hear from him until Friday. But open locker room, we'll get to hear from some of the players. So that is what's on the schedule today that is absolutely crucial. 2:10 today, a Jalen Hurts update on the practice field. And then if you want to add to the schedule, actually, 10 a.m., me, James, day 3 of the Daily Pod. We really appreciate everybody that's been watching the last 2 days. It's cool to see people in the chat, talking, hanging out. If you have a question you want us to answer, make sure you get that in there. And as we said, if you want, leave us a 5-star review for the pod and hit that subscribe button on the pod and on WIP YouTube if you have not already. It helps us out. We greatly appreciate it. As for the injury report, the Eagles didn't practice on Tuesday, so we have no update there. On Wednesday, when they practice, we'll get a full injury report. And of course, as we mentioned, pretty big day for Jalen Hurts. So let's get into the news of the day from Tuesday at the NovaCare Complex. The coordinators spoke. There was a lot of Jake Elliott talk. Vic Fangio really buttering up the Packers' run defense. And then I want to get into the Eagles' corner. I'm sorry, the Packers' corners versus the Eagles' receivers. We'll do that on the other side of the commercial break, a real deep dive into their secondary, especially now that Jaire Alexander is out. But first, I would say the news of the day is that the head coaching interviews continue to roll in for Kellen Moore, or at least I should say the head coaching interview request. He's now been requested as a head coach candidate from the New Orleans Saints and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I would expect Kellen Moore to get a few more. Generally with these things, when a couple of teams ask for one person, those other teams will jump in and interview him just in case. And, you know, I expect him to get a few more interviews. So Kellen was asked about that today. And here's what he had to say.
This time of year, there's head coaching interviews coming up and that kind of thing. How do you balance that side of it with obviously preparing for the game?
Yeah, you don't worry about it too much. Really, the focus on the week and those things take care of themselves. Obviously, those things only come to teams who usually tend to have success and are doing things well on the field, and so that's where he focuses.
So guessing whether Kellen will get a head coaching interview is tough. Me and James talked about this on Tuesday on day 2 of the Daily Playoff Pods. I don't think he'll get a job. He doesn't strike me as a good interviewer. That's just my opinion from, you know, being at press conferences of his all year. I'm sure I don't get a chance to talk to him a ton, like in casual settings. Sure, he's a very nice guy, obviously has done a really good job this year. And his resume speaks for itself. So I just think when you, so later in the press conference, Kellen was asked about what he's learned from Nick. And he essentially was like about leading the team, emotional leading, putting them in good places, you know, the things he does with attention to detail, kind of the things you would all guess that, you know, Nick is good at. But I thought it was interesting he led with the emotional leading of the team. I think that's probably something Kellen needs to work on, like be a leader of men, so to speak. Not everybody has that. Like, I don't know if I could be a head coach for that. I don't know if I could stand in front of a room of 100 people, players, coaches, execs, you know, the staff and all that, and be a leader. I don't know. But Nick is really good at that. And you see it from what the team puts out where, you know, he's giving his talks to the team every Wednesday. So I think that's probably where Kellen might not get the job. I think schematically, Kellen can do it. As a play caller, he can do it. I think he's good at developing players. So it depends what a team will want. If they want somebody that's going to come in, set the culture, be someone the whole team rallies behind, I'm not sure if that's Kellen, just in my opinion. But if they're looking for a schematic guy, maybe Kellen will get it. I think Kellen more than likely will be back. That's just my guess. But there will be more and more interview requests for sure. So get used to the Kellen Moore interview requests coming in. Vic Fangio also spoke to the reporters, and he really buttered up the Packers running game. Talked about it, you know, for, I don't know, maybe a third of the press conference, just about how good they are. And he gave a real detailed explanation as to why they're so good. And here's what he had to say.
Their running game so effective?
Well, they got a really good line to begin with. You know, I think their 5-0 linemen have been in there for every play, I think. Number one. Number two, they have a great back. Jacobs has had as good a year as anybody. And he's hard to tackle, runs physical. And they have the play pass game off of it. You know, so they have really good big play receivers that you're always worried about. And the combination of them being to throw it down the field and run it is a tough combination.
So the numbers definitely back it up. The Packers are 5th in the NFL in yards per game this year on the ground. They're 6th in the NFL in yards per carry. James brought this up on the Daily Pod. Josh Jacobs, no secret that he's very good, but I think with so much talk this week about Jordan Love and the Jalen injury, Jair Alexander being out, Christian Watson, there just hasn't been as much Josh Jacobs talk. But he's having an awesome year. 1,329 yards on the ground this year, 15 touchdowns, almost 4.5 yards per carry. He's really, really good. He's good at catching it out in the flat. He's good in space. He runs with power. He makes people miss. Like, he's an awesome, awesome running back. The good news is the Eagles have been really good against a run this year. The Eagles are 9th in yards per carry allowed. If you go back and look at it over the season, I don't think there's been really many teams, if any, that have been able to run the ball all over the Eagles. I think Jalix Hunt has done a nice job against the run since he started to play more. I think he's been better than Bryce Huff was. Nolan Smith has been awesome against a run this year. I think all year he's been good against a run. He's improved as a pass rusher as the year has gone on and as a run defender as well. But I think all year he's been really, really good against the run. We know Jalen Carter's awesome against the run. We know Jordan Davis, when he's out there, can be really good against the run. So, you know, it seems to me like Vic feels the key to this game is going to be stopping the run. He talked there about how the passing attack really kind of comes off of the running attack, the explosive plays. No Christian Watson, a big deal in this game. Obviously, he's their big play guy. So if they can shut the run down, I think the Packers will struggle to move the ball, and I think that the Eagles believe that as well. So I think the Eagles will come into this game wanting the ball in Jordan Love's hands, not running the ball. I think they're going to focus on stopping the run against the Packers, especially the way Vic talks about it. And, you know, I know you can always say this time of the year, especially in the playoffs, there's chess being, you know, I'm going to say this. Vic's been pretty honest all year, and the way he talks about that Packers running game and how important it is to their passing game, I think they're going to focus a ton on stopping the run this upcoming Sunday. So next up, the Jake Elliott of it all. Me and James talked about this on the Daily Pod, but Nick Sirianni was on WIP and was asked about it. Michael Clay talked about Jake Elliott on Tuesday. So I wanted to give you their perspective of where they're at with Jake Elliott. So here is Nick Sirianni on the WIP morning show when asked about Jake Elliott and essentially his confidence in him.
I think this guy has the definition of dog mentality. So he's the same guy every single day. I love his mentality. You got to have that mentality as a quarterback. You got to have that mentality as a quarterback, as a defensive back, as a kicker, as a wideout. Every position in football, you have to have that. And those guys that, you know, there's a reason he's played for as long as he has in this league, that he has that mental toughness to be able to move on and adjust whatever he needs to adjust after a miss and focus on the task at hand. And I have, again, like I said, I have no doubt in his mindset, have no doubt in his ability that he'll be ready to go this weekend.
So Michael Clay later in the day on Tuesday was also asked about Jake Elliott and gave a similar answer, but you know, went into a little more detail. So here's what Michael Clay had to say about Jake Elliott.
What do you feel like Jake is going into the postseason?
Yeah, I think Jake, you know, being around him so much and personally just talking, I think his confidence is still very, very high in what he's doing. You know, obviously he missed that 39-yarder off the left hash right there, and I think he thought the wind was going to play a little bit more of a factor on the ball, but he struck the ball well in terms of that. And, you know, he goes back, and he's always going to be his hardest critic going forward. But nice for him to come back and hit those two. You know, they're shorter field goals, but it's also nice to see the ball go through the net right there. So he's been striking the ball well. It's not like the ball's been fluttering or barely getting there. You know, it's just one of those things where we just got to keep the confidence that he has, that we have in him going forward. Because, you know, as we all know, it's not no longer the regular season. You know, all the points matter for us to advance in this situation in the postseason.
I do think this is one of those instances where it's important you guys hear it, but also, like, what are they going to say? Are they going to come out there and be like, yeah, he's not been that great. There's definitely times we have to think about it. This is not what they're going to do. Like, maybe Vic Fangio, the special teams coordinator, would say that, but I just don't think that that's what they're going to do. And Michael Clay throughout the year really has given a lot of detail as to kind of, like, why maybe he isn't as concerned. I thought him saying that the ball is traveling well is a good indication. Like, the ball is not consistently coming up short. It's more about placement. He talked about how against the Giants, Jake Elliott thought the wind would be kind of rougher than it was on the kick, and that's why he missed. Michael Clay also brought up that the that when you play a 4:30 game, generally the wind dies down. I have no idea the science there. It feels like, as somebody that went through a brief stretch of being afraid of wind, it does feel like it's always windy at night when I'm trying to sleep. But maybe he's right, and maybe they have numbers on this to back it up. So I think reading the wind will be a big thing. Being at home, that'll be part of it. I don't think it's supposed to be super windy on Sunday. You know, last time I looked, I felt like it was, at least on Saturday, I know it's not supposed to be that windy. Let me pull up my handy-dandy weather app here. Little Blues Clues reference for all the OGs in the pod. So Sunday, yeah, max wind gust 13 miles an hour. That's nothing. I mean, I would say normally you feel wind at like 30 plus mile per hour wind gust. So it doesn't seem like it'll be super windy on Sunday. And if they feel like that's been the issue with Jake Elliott, it's good to know that, you know, it won't be that windy on Sunday. So ultimately, they're just going to have to keep trusting him. They're going to have to hope he makes kicks. They don't really have a choice other than that. So another interesting component while we're on special teams of this game is Green Bay returner Keyshawn Nixon. So he is their nickel corner. He plays all the time on nickel, at nickel, I should say, on defense. But he's really good. The Packers this year, let me rephrase this. The past 2 years, Keyshawn Nixon has led the NFL in kick return yardage. So 2022 and 2023, he did not lead the league in kick return yardage this year. He only returned the ball 18 times compared to 30 and 35 last year. Obviously, I would assume that's a new kickoff rule thing. He only has 4 punt returns this year. But overall, the Packers are 3rd in the NFL in average starting field position. So that's a bit of everything there. That's not just kickoffs. That's obviously punt returns as well as to where their offense is starting. But what it does say is the Packers do a good job, you know, on offense of getting the ball in a good place to start their drive. So Keyshawn Nixon going up against him will be tough. Michael Clay talked about him. Here's what he had to say.
Elite speed, great vision, a little bit similar to Turpin. If you look at his kickoff returns, he kind of lulls you to sleep a little bit. And that first 10 to 12 yards looks like he's kind of jogging. Then he hits that burst. So for us, you know, we really got to, you know, minimize the space he has in the running lanes. Get off blocks, you know, great block destruction, and come to the party right there like we did on the one with Turpin that he got tackled at 26, you know, being able to eliminate those big spaces right there. But he is a fantastic kickoff return guy. I think he's a 2-time All-Pro kickoff returner, but he kind of lulls you to sleep, then he has that burst. And if you get out leverage, you know, we tell the guys, if you're head up, you're pretty much out of position. So we don't want to get head up. We want to keep this leveraged out. Then, you know, get off blocks and make a secure tackle with him.
You know, in the playoffs, obviously, every little thing matters. You just have to look at the 2022 Super Bowl to wonder how much special teams matter. So going into the Dallas game, I know the Eagles were very careful about where they kicked the ball to keep it away from Turpin. I would think they would do the same here with Nixon. So I would expect a lot of the ball going out of the end zone, just making sure that that Nixon doesn't get a chance to return the ball. But when he does, he's hard to tackle. He's fast. As you heard Michael Clay say there, he has a quick get-up speed where all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. So it'll be an interesting component to the game on Sunday. The special teams, Jake Elliott as a kicker, obviously McManus as the other kicker on the Packers, and then Keyshawn Nixon in special teams. Going to be a big part of the game against the Packers. So, on the other side, we'll talk about another important matchup in this game, probably more important, I would say, and that is the Eagles wide receivers against the Packers cornerback. So, that'll be on the other side, but first, a word from our sponsors. So, as much as the Christian Watson injury is getting a ton of attention, the Jaire Alexander one is a huge one as well. Now, Alexander has not played a ton this year. He only played in about 33% of the team snaps on defense. So he wasn't out there a ton. But when Jaire Alexander was out there, he was the ninth best cornerback in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus in coverage. So major, major loss for the Packers. It would be similar to the Eagles losing Quinyon or arguably Darius Slay, but probably more Quinyon in this case. So with no Jaire Alexander, you kind of look at the Packers' stats this year as a passing defense, and you have to acknowledge, like, without him out there, now he wasn't out there all year, obviously, but their passing defense is not going to be as good without him out there. So this year, the Packers, just for some big picture stats before we dive into the matchups and the specifics of their secondary, they were 14th in the year in net yards allowed per pass, so right around the middle of the league. They allowed the ninth highest completion percentage in the NFL, but they allowed the ninth fewest passing touchdowns. So they clearly, you can move the ball against them in the air. Their corners, especially with Jaire Alexander out, are only okay. We're going to dive in to that. Now, in terms of what they play about 25% man coverage. The rest is zone, very typical with what you see in today's NFL. But that doesn't mean there won't be matchups. Obviously, in a zone, you have to stay with guys. So, and they do play some man coverage. So let's dive in to the Packers secondary, what you need to know about the players that will be playing, who will be covering who, where these guys will be lining up. One thing to note heading into this, outside of the Jaire Alexander injury, they are very thin in the secondary and they're dealing with a few injuries. So backup safety Zane Anderson missed last week with a concussion. Certainly have talked about the concussion protocol a ton on this pod recently, so I don't need to dive into that with you guys, but he missed last week with a concussion. And then as well, backup safety Evan Williams missed last week with a quadricep injury. So both of their backup safeties were out last week dealing with injuries, and not ideal for them. Starting safety Javon Bullard has played, and he played last week, but he was dealing with an ankle injury. So you add in Jaire Alexander's injury, they have a lot of injuries they're dealing with in the secondary. The Eagles, not so much. The Eagles are entering this game healthy in the secondary and healthy at the receiver position. So let's dive into the personnel here. Obviously, we talked about Jaire Alexander and the fact that he's going to be out. So the Packers' two outside corners this week are going to be Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine. So Eric Stokes, 25 years old, 6'1", 194 pounds. He's in his fourth year in the NFL. He played about 53% of the snaps this season. The Packers really didn't have a lot of guys that played big-time snaps in the secondary. Valentine only played 50% of the snaps. Jaire Alexander played 33% of the snaps. Their nickel corner, Nixon, did play 93%. But on the outside, they've had a lot of turnover in the secondary with guys being in and out of the lineup. So Eric Stokes, like I was saying, he's the one you want to attack. He's the one when you get, if you do get man coverage against, whether it's AJ, whether it's Devontae, he's the one you want to go after. Now, so Eric Stokes this year did line up on both sides, both left and right. Carrington Valentine, their other starting corner, lined up basically exclusively on the right side. So I would assume that means Stokes is going to be playing almost exclusively on the left side. And so what does that mean? Get AJ Brown to the left side of the field against Eric Stokes. The good news is AJ has played pretty much 50-50 this year, left side, right side. So he's very comfortable going to the left side. Devontae, same thing. He also played pretty much 50-50, left side and right side. So when you get Eric Stokes on the left side, put AJ out there, and if you get him in man coverage and if you get him one-on-one, throw the ball to AJ against Eric Stokes. If McKinney, Xavier McKinney, their safety, or Bullard isn't leaning that way, then go up and go make, let AJ make a play. So Eric Stokes this year, 62nd in the NFL in coverage, according to Pro Football Focus. He has no touchdowns, no pass deflections, 3 touchdowns allowed. When quarterbacks throw his way, 100 passer rating allowed, 62% completion percentage, and he has 3 missed tackles. So this is the guy to go after. The Eagles should go after Eric Stokes when he's out there. Get AJ lined up across, like, take turns. Put AJ out there a bunch. Put Devontae out there. Maybe don't even, you know, go to the one side. So he is the one to attack in the secondary, especially with Jair Alexander out. There is a clear weak point here, and that weak point's name is Eric Stokes. So the other corner is actually pretty good. Carrington Valentine, he plays exclusively on the right side, which is why I think you'll see Stokes on the left side. 23 years old, 6 feet tall, 189 pounds. It's his second year in the NFL, was a 7th round pick, so good find from the Packers. He's played about 50% of the snaps this season, 14th in the NFL in coverage, according to Pro Football Focus, so much, much better than Stokes. He has 2 interceptions, 9 pass deflections, 2 forced fumbles, and that is one thing about this Packers secondary. They do force fumbles. He's forced 2. Nixon is forced 2. They create turnovers in the secondary for sure. So that is something to keep an eye on for the Eagles receivers. Once they catch the ball, hold on to the ball, because the Packers really do poke at it. But yeah, Valentine, 23 years old, top 15 corner in the NFL in coverage, 79 passer rating allowed when being targeted, 0 touchdowns allowed this season, and 4 missed tackles. So he will miss tackles as well. But Carrington Valentine, look, I think Devontae AJ can win against them as well. I don't think this is an instance where you avoid that side of the field, but the clear weakness here is Stokes. So I not our guy Stokes, by the way, obviously. Every time I've said that name, I've thought of it. Not our guy Stokes. We're talking about Eric Stokes. So Valentine, good size, good year. You can definitely go after him, but a better player for sure than Stokes. So I would make sure you get AJ and Devontae over to the left side of the field. So their nickel corner, Keyshawn Nixon, we talked about him as the punt returner or kick returner, but he's a good player as well at nickel. 27 years old, 5'10", 200 pounds, so a typical body type for nickel corner. 6 year in the NFL, previously played for the Oakland Raiders, or the Las Vegas Raiders, I should say. 3rd year with the Packers. He's played 93% of the snaps this season, so he's been out on the field a ton. Now, he's ranked 77th in Pro Football Focus coverage, and obviously I like Pro Football Focus. I put a lot of stock into it, but it's worth noting he has a passer rating of only 79 allowed when targeted this year. 3 forced fumbles, an interception, 7 pass deflections. They will send him after the quarterback from the nickel spot. He has 6 quarterback hits this year. Bad tackler, has missed 8 tackles this year, so that's a problem. But I think he's still a pretty good player. Now, what was interesting, and maybe this is obvious, but I was a little surprised that Devontae Smith finished the year 50% slot and 50% wide. I thought it would be a little more slanted towards the outside, and it's not exactly 50-50. He was out wide 407 times, in the slot 375 times. But he'll see a lot of snaps against Nixon, presumably in that slot. So I would say overall, their starting corners, the trio they have, Nixon and Valentine, pretty good, but Stokes is the one you want to go after there. So another part of this, of course, is their safety duo, and they have 2 good safeties. Xavier McKinney, really, really special player. He has 8 interceptions this year. This dude knows how to get after the ball. Only 1 touchdown allowed. He blitzed 13 times. So they don't often send him from the secondary after the quarterback, but when they do, he's pretty good. He has a sack and only 13 blitzes. That's pretty impressive. Just an awesome, awesome player. I would think that they would shade him over to the side of Stokes with how much, you know, he struggled this year, give him some help, and probably ask Valentine to do a little more man-on-man coverage. So again, even when AJ's against Valentine, I think you go out there and you look for AJ. The other safety, Javon Bullard, 22 years old, a rookie from Georgia. I'm sure he will enjoy seeing his Georgia Bulldogs after this game. He's allowed 3 touchdowns. Good player. Nothing, like, I wouldn't say he's like super special or a weakness. Just a good player. So that's their secondary. I think that where you can find the matchup advantages is really is whoever has man coverage. If McKinney is shading over towards Stokes, then I think Valentine, while a good player, you can still attack him. And again, get Stokes, go after him, AJ, Devontae take turns. It's like in training camp when you see, you know, defensive ends just taking turns against a bad offensive tackle. That's what it should be this week. So Jalen Hurts pre-snap, identify which side, identify the make sure Stokes is over there, see where the safety's at, go out, throw the ball, and have a good day after you haven't played for a few weeks. So I definitely give the Eagles receivers the advantage against this Packers secondary. Thank you guys so much for listening. Enjoy your Wednesday. Hopefully good news today with Jalen. I will talk to you guys, if you're listening to this in the morning, I'll talk to you guys at 10 a.m. for the Daily Pod. But if not, talk to you guys tomorrow. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.